Philippians 1 and 3. You know, friends, before we ever get all the way down to that body change, we might be meeting in no more groups bigger than this. We might be going to people's houses. We might be meeting who knows where. So we might as well just get used to it. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Isn't that something how he so esteemed these people that he just remembers them. He thanks God for them all the time. He said, always in every prayer of mine for you all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident is this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You may have your seat. I just really like that. I want to keep that in mind. He who started this work is going to finish it. Another place in Hebrews he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the captain. He's the one who started it. He's going to finish it. Now all we have to do, do I need a microphone? Am I loud enough? Try that. I'm afraid I'm going to blow my voice out. All we have to do, is this on? All right. Now hold still tonight. All he's asking us to do, where was that? Okay, he's the author and finisher. All right, he started, he's going to finish. He just says, why don't you just stay with me? Just stay with me, just walk with me. And this word that Brother Jay was preaching on, trust. Trust is the hardest thing almost for human beings to do, to trust each other, to trust God, to trust ourselves. We just don't trust very well because we've been hurt so many times. And trust makes you vulnerable. You know, you love someone, you trust them, and then they turn around and they hurt your feelings and like, I don't want to trust anymore. The kids we work with all the time, the biggest problem they have is trusting people because their mom threw them away, their dad threw them away, someone hurt them here, someone hurt them there, there's something bad, and then we come along and we're going to be with them temporarily, say, trust us, we're going to help you. And they look at us like, I can't trust you, I can't trust anybody, I can't trust my own mom, I can't trust my own dad, I can't trust the preacher, I can't trust anybody, because trust hurts, because when you trust, it makes you vulnerable and you're going to get hurt. It's just the way it is. You are going to get hurt when you trust. And the problem we have trusting God is he allows bad things to happen. Look at your own life, every one of you. Look what God has allowed in your life. Look at the pain you went through. He said, well, God, I love you, I want to serve you. Why do you let these bad things happen? How am I supposed to turn around and trust you after I go through all these hard times? You could have stopped it. That's where Satan comes in. He likes that because when we are vulnerable, he can bring fear against us because of our vulnerability. God, Satan loves it when we start confessing I'm afraid of this, I'm worried about this, I don't know about this, I don't like this, because he listens to what you're saying, and then he brings that against you where you're vulnerable so that he can bring that fear, and then you start stressing, you start worrying, you start, oh my goodness, what if this happens, what if this happens? And the fear of the future is one of the worst things. It'll stop you cold, you quit going forward, you just kind of hunkle down there and just kind of get in your little foxhole and just kind of shiver there, afraid to go forward, because what next is the bad thing that's going to happen? Vulnerability, that's what I'm speaking on tonight. Satan's greatest weapon against us is fear. Brother Jerry was talking about that. He uses fear and worry, and he exposes how vulnerable we feel. Y'all know I just lost my car, right? I was in Canada. Someone stole my car. You talk about feeling vulnerable. I'm sitting there in the airport like my car's gone. What am I supposed to do? I can't do anything about it. I thought, well, what if they break into my house? Well, they did. Several years ago, I was sleeping in my bed. They broke in and stole something out of my house when I was sleeping there. So how are you going to protect it? Even if I'd been home, they probably would have still stole it because I probably would have stayed asleep. How are you going to protect yourself? How are you going to take care of this thing? Can you protect your health? Can you protect your finances? Tomorrow, your money could be worthless by the time, the end of tomorrow. All this stuff, the government, you can't depend on that. There's nothing in this world to depend on. You can't have confidence in everything. And the more we go, the more vulnerable we feel, especially when we get old. We have all kinds of stuff happening when we get old. We can't keep up with people when they're walking through the airport. It's because we are old and we get more vulnerable. It's just the way things are. And so Satan comes against us harder and harder where we're vulnerable to get us to quit trusting God. That's what it's all about. And God allows us to become vulnerable. Well, why would God do that? Why would God allow us to become vulnerable? It's very simple. So we quit depending on our own selves. Oh, my. God does not want us depending on ourselves. He doesn't want us protecting ourselves. He doesn't want us solving our own problems. He wants us to trust him. So he allows us to go through these things to break us down. He wants to destroy our strength. He wants to destroy our self-confidence. He wants to destroy anything that we have that we can put up there and say that I can depend on myself. He wants to get you to a place where you say, God, I can't do anything. I cannot depend on myself at all anymore. I have to depend on you. So I put you in situations where you recognize that I can't help myself. Look at the health issues some of you have had already just in the last few years, and you get to the point, I can't help myself. There's nothing I can do. The doctor can't help me. This person can't help me. I prayed and prayed, and nothing has happened. And you just sit there and say, what can I do? And sometimes, like Brother Jim, the doctor told you, I give up. I can't do anything to help you. And what happened that night? God stepped in and healed you. Ain't that amazing? When we get to the end of our rope, that's where God wants us. But what do? We struggle so hard climbing up that rope and trying our own ability until it's like God's just sitting there waiting. When you're done trying, I'm going to step in and fix your problem. My. Oh, my. Why does it take us so long to get to that point? Because we got too much strength, we got too much confidence, we got too much ability in ourselves. Y'all remember Jerry Bell? He had about as much a natural ability as anyone I've ever seen. He was very athletic, he was very intelligent, he had so much self-discipline, he could do anything he wanted to do except serve God. He could not surrender himself and trust God and be born again. Because he had so much ability, and it just crushed him. And even when he was crushed, instead of turning to God, he turned away. Oh, aren't you glad you turned to God? There's something inside that it brought you. I'll tell you, you know what? I'm done with this. I've got to have God. I'm going to read out of Isaiah 41 for a little bit here. I kind of get to a point, hopefully. Look, let me put it this way. You cannot protect yourself and trust God at the same time. You cannot worry about how you're going to fix something and trust God at the same time. You cannot stress about something and trust God at the same time. You can't do it. It's impossible to fix it, to help yourself, to be strong in yourself and trust God at the same time, because you don't have to. You might trust him part way, but God wants a total trust. He wants completely turned over and throw all your cares on him. He said, throw your cares on me. I care so you don't have to. That's what he's looking for. It's something we grow into. We grow into this maturity. And you know, the older we get, the more we get to trust God, the more we come to recognize that we can't fix ourselves. Look at some of the great testimonies around people that you know, the message believers and all these different people. Look what happened when they trusted God and God came up and done some mighty things in their life. But look where they had to get for to get to that point. You had to go through the test. Isaiah 41:1, it says, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak, let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east and called him to his foot, gave the nation before and made him rule over kings? He gave them as dust to a sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am he. So what we're saying, without getting a lot of detail here, God is saying, I have done this mighty work in the earth. I am the one who did it. I am he. And I was the one who accomplished this. And then he says, the islands saw and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. Drew near and came. They drew near and came. What is he talking about? I'm trying to be not take too long on breaking that down. But God is doing something in the earth, and the people saw, the islands saw, the ends of the earth came, and they saw that God was doing a mighty work, and so they drawing them together. It was pulling them together. And it says the islands saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near, and they came. And then it says they helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. They saw God doing a mighty work, and then they were afraid, and they said, be of good courage. You don't need courage if there's nothing to be afraid of. What were they afraid of? We can see what they're afraid of, what they did next. They said, and they helped everyone, his neighbor. Everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it's ready for the soldering. He fastened it with nails so it should not be moved. That is humanity's response when God does something in our midst. We have to make an idol. That's Brother Branham said, that fear, they said, God does something in your midst, and this is how denominations are formed, is they want to protect what God is doing, so they write it all down, this is what we believe, and they put a period after it so it can't be moved. And he said, when you put that period, it dies. Every time you say, I got all of God I need, I got it all figured out, you're putting a period after it, and you die. That's all there is. You cannot do that because God does not stop moving. If your religion doesn't move, it's dead. It needs to be buried. You need to keep moving because God keeps moving forward. But that fear is, what if we miss God? What if we keep going? Because to move forward is vulnerable. But if you're in a battle and you just dig a foxhole and you just duck down in there and just cower in your foxhole where you can be safe, the problem is you might be safe, but you're also dead because you're not moving forward. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, if I had not come, you would have had no sin, because the Pharisees were walking in all the light that they had available until more light came. And then when they refused to go with more light, then that's when they died. Before that, they were just fine. The Pentecostals were fine. The Pentecostal age, they were born again. They were going forward. But when light came, and they were, those who refused to go on into the new light, they died. When I say they're born again, there's people who are born again and sealed away in that Pentecostal age, that church age. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the people who the light came to pull them out of that, because it was time to go into bride age. And when they refused to go into bride age, they stayed right there where they were, and they died. They refused to keep going forward. Brother Bramley, he said it's like a Roman candle. You shoot a Roman candle off, it goes off, it explodes. But when it explodes, another one goes off from that, and it explodes. Another one goes off from that, and it explodes. And you had to keep going as it from glory to glory, as revelation to revelation. You keep moving forward, and you never get to the point, well, hey, I'm ready for the rapture. I'm just going to sit back here and relax. You are never going to get to that point, because the love of God will bring you, it will draw you to a course of walk, and all you want to do is see more Christ. That's all you want to do. We just want to see more Christ. I don't want to see you. I want to see Christ in you. You don't want to see me. I got nothing to offer. But if you can see Christ in me, that's the hope of glory. So why do people stop going forward? Because they're afraid. It makes them vulnerable to keep going forward. If you're in battle and you keep walking forward, you're going to get hit. You're going to get wounded. You're going to get hurt. It's going to happen. Look at your life. Look as you go forward in this life. Look at all the hardships you've dealt with because you keep going forward. Look at the people who speak against you. Look at the things they said against your family. Look at the hardships you all been through. And yet you just keep going forward because something inside just keeps drawing you. And the commander said, get up and just keep walking. Oh, it's something beyond. It's not my strength. Why do you, I hear people say, I'm going to hold on to the end. Well, you are not going to hold on to the end. If you hold on, it's because something held you. It ain't you holding on. I could never give up. Quit bragging on your own ability. When you brag, it's the faith of God in me that is not going to let me go. I've tried to get away, and he won't let me go, and he's not going to let me go, and I'm going through because he said I was. He's the one who said it. It's not me. It's not me holding on. I'm tired of hearing people bragging about how strong they are in their faith. I hear from preachers all the time. I'm gonna get in trouble. Let me keep going. Who are you kidding? Your strength ain't holding you. God's doing something. And we follow the light. We move forward, and he keeps us going forward. Oh, when we get rid of that old idea as if it was something I had to do about it. Brother Brandon has quote after quote about this stuff. I don't have it with me, so don't worry about it. I'm not going to take all night, probably. But there's just, it's the Bible is constantly full of what God is doing for us. Get our hands off it. Ask Adam, what happened? happen when you try to help God save you? Your fig leaves did nothing. Ask Cain what was it like when you tried to serve God apart from revelation. It was rejected. And human beings still doing it. We're still fashioning our idols. Constant attempt to help God to save us. Why? Because of lack of trust. We're not sure God's going to keep his word. Does that sound ridiculous? And yet every one of us is going to sit here and think, yeah, I've been there. If I can just pray enough, if I can just be religious enough, when that spirit comes, oh, I just want to pray now and just keep that spirit here and just try so hard. Oh, just stop. So what is God's desire for the relationship with man if it's not to build an idol, if it's not to be as religious as he can? What's his desire? Let's go to verse 8. Excuse me a second. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. The seed of Abraham, my friend. You're the seed of Abraham, his friend. If Abraham was his friend, then you're his friend. You're the same seed. He chose you. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says we chose God. Jesus himself said, I have chosen you and ordained you to go and bring forth much fruit. It's over and over. He chose us. And listen to this. He says, many are called and few are chosen. You don't choose yourself and you say, well, I'm going to go in. Well, I've just done this, I did that. Friends, if you recognize you've been chosen, recognize you are the most blessed person on earth. Here's something else to be aware of. He says, many are called. He didn't say all are called. Everyone is not called. There's many are called, but out of those many, a few are chosen. Those many can be saved. They might be saved in different ways, but the bride is the only ones who are chosen. Amen. In this day, for the Gentiles. He said, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. Look at the pain. Look at where we all come from. We come from all scattered around this place, and here we are. He said, and call thee from the chief men thereof. He didn't choose all those. He chose us, nobodies. Now, you don't like being called nobody. I'm sorry. You're nobody compared to this world. Who out in this world knows you? Oh, everyone in Dixon knows Brother Jim, but I'm talking about normal people. He said, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. He said, I ain't thrown you away. All the Father has given me will come. I will not lose a single one. I have chosen you. I didn't change my mind about you. When are you going to trust me? What does it take to get us to walk in faith, knowing that he has brought us this far, and he who had started this work will perform it until the rapture? Amen. But as long as we're still worrying and fussing and fretting and fearful, it shows that there is a lack of trust. Exactly what your pastor said on Sunday. We have to quit this stuff. It's unbelief. It's sin. He said, fear thou not. He would not say, fear thou not if there wasn't some vulnerability, something to be afraid of. God allows that vulnerability so you can fear not in the midst of the vulnerability because you trust God through that time. If God didn't want you to be vulnerable, he would not make you vulnerable. He would not allow it to happen. But he wanted to happen so that you're in the midst of that where Satan brings all that fear against you. I'm going to get happy. When Satan brings all that fear against you because of your vulnerability in the midst of that turmoil, God says, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. Oh. If we believe that, let me ask you this. What if Jesus Christ walked in here tonight in that corporal body that he was crucified in, and you saw it was Jesus Christ and you knew it was him, and you said, Jesus is here in a body, I can touch him. Would you be afraid? Would you have faith to believe for anything? Well, of course. Well, I'm here to tell you. He is here.
He is here in a corporal body, yours. Oh, we need that to become more real to us. And how do you get that more real to see more Christ? Is when we let go of our own strength and accept our vulnerability so he can be strong when we are weak. Oh, my, that's all he's looking for. He's looking for a surrendered vessel. What's a surrendered vessel? Someone who lets your own strength go so he can be strong. You know what I'm coming to, Paul. Isn't that what Paul said? There's something to fear. Then we have to trust God. God allows bad things to happen so that you will feel vulnerable, so that Satan will bring fear against you. So in the midst of that, perfect love will cast it out. That's what it's all about, friend. We had to come to perfect love. We had to come to perfect faith. Friends, you're not going to get there if you don't get vulnerable. You can't come to that. You're not going to have perfect love to cast out that fear if you don't embrace that and accept that and stop trying to overcome it in your own ability. It's hard to do. That's why some of us have gone through some of the trials, because we're hard-headed. We got so much of physical, a natural ability. We got so much that we can rely on. And God says, I'm going to strip all that away. And if I have to put you in a hospital to do it, if I have to destroy this, I'll do it. But I'm going to get to that point where you are willing to accept that I am your only hope. It ain't easy being bride. It ain't fun a lot of times being bride, but I promise you it's worth it. Amen. This old nature does not like being bride. My, because it has to die. Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy God, he says. I will strengthen you. When? When you get weak. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. Oh, I can't seem to overcome this. I can't seem to overcome that. And yet he said, I will uphold you with my own righteousness. What are you afraid of? That addiction, that problem you have, it cannot stand in the face of God if you will just let go and quit trying to overcome it with your own self. Oh, I wish that had sunk into my heart about 30 years ago. But I had so much ability, so much strength, so much fear, I couldn't let go and just trust God. Because I am taught as a kid, you don't trust God. You are fearing with the ungodly kind of fear. That's the way a lot of us were raised. And that's the way we approach God. Say, God, if I get this wrong, you're going to hit me. You're going to be mad at me. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. He says, no, I'm not. Unless you have a bad attitude, then I'll hit you. I'll smack it out of you. He knows how to do that too. Look at the promises he gave us. That verse 10 is enough to put us all in the rapture. Fear not, be not dismayed. I'm with you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you. I'll do all this. I have chosen you. I am going to do this. It's already been promised. There is the promise of God. Why do we still stress and worry and fear about stuff? Because we have a hard time believing that, because we've seen so much bad stuff happen that God allows. He said, whatever I allow bad to happen does not negate my word to you. Will you trust me anyways? Oh, it's hard to do. It's like a dog that's been kicked around and they want to be petted, but they're afraid, so they kind of come crawling up. Can I trust you? Are you going to kick me? That's how we approach God, like a beaten dog sometimes. Go boldly, go walk. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I take you at your word. You've promised this to me. That's all he's looking for, someone who's going to believe him. Look. I'm going to use Brother Wayne's sister. Brother Wayne comes home, or he's there, and Sister Cindy says, she said, honey, something about the roof is leaking. I don't know what to do. He said, I'll fix it. She said, but if it rains, it's going to leak. We're going to ruin it. He said, I'll fix it. But what if, he said, I'll fix it. But you have to get up on a ladder. Okay, never mind. That had nothing to do with it. But the point is, after a while, Wayne's going to say, why don't you trust me? What, you don't think I can take care of this? He's going to get his feelings hurt. I would. If I had a wife and she didn't trust me, I said, honey, I told you I'm going to take care of it. Well, I don't know if you will or not. What an attitude to have. When has God ever failed you? When has God ever failed you? Well, bad things happened. It rained and it leaked. He said, I got this. I got this. I'm going to take care of it. But I have so many weaknesses. I have so many problems. And Satan tells me all the time I'm not going in the rapture. He tells me all the time I'm not born again. He tells me all the time, well, what did I tell you? That's like, let's go back to that again. As he said, well, my neighbor came and said, you're not going to fix it. The neighbor down the road said, you probably just let it rain in there and ruin the whole house. Well, who are you going to listen to, the neighbor or Wayne? Who are you going to listen to, Satan or God? It really comes down to that. Because when we allow ourselves to be fearful and stressed and all tore up about stuff, it's because we're listening to Satan, because God never, ever told you to be tore up about something. But he knows our weaknesses. He knows where our vulnerability. And we got a punch coming, and he's going to hit that thing all he can. And Brother Bram said, you keep that covered with what? Prayer. Not your ability to withstand it. You can't take Satan's punch. He punches a lot harder than we can take. But if we will turn over to God and say, God, Satan's hit me with this thing. I'm trusting you. That's the prayer. And God said, I got you. I'm going to fix this. Go read my word. And it proves that. Then I promise you, I got you. What are you afraid of? Look how zealous he is. I chose you. I'm going to do this. My. What an insult to God, the way we treat him sometimes. Toss and turn and worry and fret. I'm talking to myself. I've been the worst worrier there is. I'm telling you, by the grace of God, that's changing. It's changing because he's making a difference. I tell you what, you talk about freedom. Oh, things that used to tear me up don't tear me up anymore. Things I used to be afraid of, I'm not afraid of anymore. And Satan said, I'm going to make you prove that. Yes, he is. And I'm going to embrace that vulnerability. Go ahead and make me prove it, because I'm going to trust God during those times and let him fight for me. Verse 11, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Listen to what's going to happen. All those demons, all those thoughts, all those spirits that come against you and try to make you miserable, they're going to perish and be as if they never were. Boy, there's a promise. That addiction, that problem, that thing you can't overcome, look it in the face and say, you might have me right now, but let me tell you something. You're going to so completely vanish that the Bible says, I will look for you. I can't even find you. Brother Jim and his testimony about cigarettes. Where is that demon? Where is that demon? Brother Jim could go and say, I wonder why I used to be addicted. I wonder why I found pleasure, but I can't even find it anymore. It's been so completely destroyed from my life. Everything that comes against you, no weapon formed against you will stand. And he said, thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Everything that you have fought against will completely be destroyed. And though you seek them, you will not find them. What can stand against you? What can separate you from the love of God? There ain't a thing in the world. Brother Will standing with a big smile on his face because he knows exactly what I'm talking about. He's experiencing these things right now as a young Christian. He knows what I'm talking about. You all know what I'm talking about. You're old Christians. I'm not calling you old. I'm saying you've been Christian for, you're old Christians. But you know what it is to go through these battles. You know what it is to have physical problems, mental problems, family problems. And here you are anyways. Why? Because something kept holding you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Total annihilation. The things that warred against you, they're going to be gone. It says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help you. He says it again. He keeps coming back. Why? Because he knows fear is Satan's greatest weapon against us. And so he's going to say, stop being afraid. And the reason, let me say it again. Oh, let this sink down. The reason we keep fearing is because we do not accept our vulnerability and embrace it and say, I am going to let myself be as vulnerable as I can so God can come in. The reason we stay afraid is because we're still trying to fight it ourselves.
You say, well, what if he lets me be destroyed? Well, if he's going to be let me give you an example. I like hiking, right? I go out there where the bears are. Bears are scary, especially if they're coming at you. Now, I can see a bear coming. I say, I'm going to fight that bear. A grizzly, about 900 pounds, 9 foot tall grizzly, right? I'm going to fight that bear because I'm afraid and I'll, let me tell you what, that would be like you fighting an ant. I ain't got a chance against that bear. I can fight all I want, I'm still going to die. But what if I'm not afraid? I just stand there. Well, what if he kills you? He's going to kill me anyways. Me fighting back does not stop him from killing me. You see what I'm saying? You trying to defeat your own fears is not going to defeat your own fear. You trying to stop worrying or handling things in your own ability is not going to handle that in your ability. It's not going to fix it. But if you can stand there fearlessly, and love projects, that bear will turn and walk away. It will. Because love is the most powerful force in the universe. It's much more powerful than whatever is driving that bear. And God can come down there because I will relax and let God have his way. And God can turn that bear and walk him away. Well, what if he doesn't? Then you go to my funeral. Who cares? I'm still in a better place than you are. I hope I don't get hit by a bear. I'm not saying that, right? But my whole point is we try so hard to protect ourselves, and that's what causes the fear. Because we realize we can't. What if someone says something bad about me? They say stuff bad about me all the time at work, I promise you. Does it hurt my feelings? Yes, it does. What am I going to do about it? Stress about it? Worry about what they think about me? I can. I've done that much of my life. I can say, God, I'm vulnerable. My job makes me vulnerable. What can I do? Just trust me. And you find out it doesn't matter what people think about you. That's one of the hardest things for people to deal with, is what people think about them. And because it hurts our feelings, but then you realize it doesn't matter. How many times I got all tore up about what someone said about me, and 3 days later, it didn't matter at all. But oh, the torment you go through because, oh, they said something bad about me. And then you let it go and you forgive them and it didn't matter and you can still be friends with them. My, you talk about freedom. I was in a situation recently where I had treated someone not very well. I didn't like the person very well, just some of their behaviors and attitudes. And God spoke to me about that. He said, you need to go hang out with that person for a while and show them what it is to be a Christian. This person's an atheist kind of person. He used to be Christian. I spent time with him and we got along great. He didn't change at all. He's the same person he was that I didn't like before. But you know what? When I changed my attitude, I liked him a lot better and we got along just fine. And when I left him, he was saying, you need to come back. We need to see you again. That's not Phil Bontrager. That's Jesus Christ changing him. Myself well enough to know that. He goes on, verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob. You let me stop there. Do you hear why he called you? Worm. He said, you're a worm. Oh, Brother Phil, I'm an eagle. Yeah, part of you is an eagle. And that part sitting there that I'm looking at is a worm. You know what that means? You're insignificant. Your old flesh don't matter. This old body you're living in doesn't matter. It's going to get old. It's going to die. It's going to give you all kinds of problems. It's just a worm. That's right. And yet we spend so much of our effort trying to protect a worm. Oh, my. Oh, my. My little worm brain, my little worm feelings, and I want to protect them, and I don't want people to say bad things about me, and I'm just a worm. And I'm talking about a little slimy nightcrawler worm. Ain't that amazing?
Look what he says. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, you men of Israel. How does a worm protect itself? All he can do is lay there and wiggle and squiggle. You can't protect yourself. He says, fear not, you little worthless, insignificant human being. And you men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He says, I know that's just a worm body, but I have still redeemed you. That part inside of you, that's the real you. That eagle inside of you, yes, that's what I've redeemed. Oh, my goodness. Let me try to finish up here. This is taking longer than I thought. He said, when we were sinners, alienated, without God in the world, in that muck of mud, as I was talking about this morning. You know who likes mucks of mud? Worms. You're in that muck of mud. You were a worm crawling around in mud. That just is gross, I tell you. God came to us. God sought you. He came down in that mud. You ever go catch night crawlers? They come up, you got to dig for them. You dig through the dirt and you find that little night crawler to go fishing. That's where God found you. He came down in that nasty mud. He picked you out of there. You never sought God. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. God came down in that muck, what you were, and sought you out and brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was and look what you are. Look what you were. Look what you were doing to that old worm body. Look at the stuff you were doing to it. Look at the drugs you were destroying it with. Look at the thoughts you were having. Look at the spirits you were entertaining. And he came down in the midst of that sin and that muck and that mire. He said, don't you realize who you really are? You were never made for mud. You were made to fly in the skies above it. And I have redeemed you because you were always a part of me. And I cannot lose you. Oh, hallelujah. He said, doesn't that create a perfect love? Look what you was. What did that? Somebody that loved you. Can't you have faith in what he promised you then? Real genuine love would create a confidence in his word. Oh, my. If he did that, then can't we believe he's going to take us the rest of the way? Didn't he promise? He said, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He has started this work. He will finish it if we will just allow him to. Amen. Oh, my. He caught me when I was nothing. I'm still nothing, but I'm in his hand. He caught me. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable, but he changed you. What is it? It's Christ in you. I'm going to skip some. Let me just skip ahead. Verse 21, it says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them, and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are here to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you are nothing. Your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooses you. What's he saying? He's talking about all those spirits, all those fears that come to you and say, this bad thing is going to happen. That bad thing is going to happen, as if they know the future. You know something bad happened to your family. You know something bad is going to happen to your health. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose this. Your church is going to fall apart. This is going to happen. And all it is demons coming into you to make you be afraid of what's going to happen, as if they could predict the future. They don't know the future. Those demons don't know the future any more than you and I know the future. In fact, we know more because we have the promise. We know what's going to happen. But as far as what's going on in this life, you and I don't know it, and neither do they. So when that demon comes against you and starts telling you, you know bad things are going to happen. You're going to get sick. You're going to get cancer. Your family's going to die. This is going to happen. All that junk that they bring against you to be you're afraid of what's going on, what's going to happen, it's nothing. It's a bunch of lies. They are not gods. They don't know what's going to happen. There's nothing to fear, friends, going forward. Just get up and walk. Bad things are going to happen, guaranteed. Good things are going to happen, guaranteed. But you know what happens to the bad things? God takes those and makes it work for your good. Amen. He gives you a testimony. And you get up in front of the church one day and say, God, this was happening, and God set me free. God delivered me. God healed me. God did all this stuff. Why? Because you went through that hard time when you were vulnerable, and you let God take it in his own hands. These demons who bring all this fear about the future, they don't know nothing. They don't know what's going to happen. Stop paying attention to that junk. They're still down in that mud with the worms. They are worms. Get up and fly above all that junk. Do what Paul said. I'm going to just really quickly. I'm not even going to hardly read much of this because just to save time. Paul, you know what I'm talking about? He said, you know, he had the eye problem. He prayed God, you know, God to heal him. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So what Paul said, he said, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This hurts to say this. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches. When someone reproaches you, take pleasure in it instead of getting all tore up about it. How do you do that? You know how you do it? Embrace it. Embrace the weakness. Embrace the vulnerability. Embrace the infirmity. Paul wasn't going around, oh, I'm so glad I can't see very well. No, he was happy because when he was weak, when I am weak, then am I strong. When he was weak, then Christ could be strong in him. That's the whole thing. When you go through something vulnerable and you can't protect yourself and things are falling apart and you trust God and you see God come on the scene and you just can't help but praise God and you thank God, Lord, I can trust you. Why? Because you know that God is keeping his word to you. When he said, fear not, I will help you. And then you can walk in faith knowing that this is Christ being formed in you, the hope of glory. And there's nothing anyone wants to see more than to see Christ. But you can't see him until you get to that point where you get out of the way and will you let him be strong when you are weak? Can you embrace your vulnerability? I'm going to go on vacations. I'm going on one next weekend. My car might be sitting somewhere. My house is going to be sitting there, vulnerable as can be. I'm not going to fear a bit. Because God took that away. He said, listen, fear, I got you. But you let my car be stolen. Okay. Are you still okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Then what you whining about? You're going to be fine. What if I die? You're going to be better. There's nothing to fear, friends. He says it over and over. How many times did Jesus say, fear not, fear not? But when we get that vulnerable feeling, we start protecting, we start pulling into ourselves instead of letting it go and say, God, you got this. God, you got this. You say, I'm not there yet. Well, you'll get there. I'm not there yet either. Some places we all are, some places we still have to go. We're still growing. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. Like, well, when do you get there? You get there totally when you get a body change, right? We're going to be fighting this the rest of our life here. But you can do a lot better. We can get to a place where we have that perfect love that drives out that fear. So when Satan brings that against us, you bad things are going to happen or this or that or there. The doctor gives you a diagnosis. You're going to die. Okay. That's what you think. If God says I'm going to die, I'll accept that. I'm not going to accept it from you because the word says differently. So I'm going to ask what God's will is on this situation. And then if he tells me, yeah, it's time for you to go, then I'm going to be happy to go. He says, no, you're not going to die, then I'm not going to die. I don't care what the doctor says. So what's the fear? Where is the fear coming from? God knows what's best. If it's time for me to go, then I want to go. If it's time for me to stay, then I want to stay. I want to do what God wants.
much self keeps us from this. Too much of our own ambitions, too much of our own pride, too much of the things we want in life. But God knows how to strip that all away. Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Pleasure. You know what that word means? Be well pleased. Take pleasure, think good. It seems good to want, to is one's good pleasure. It says to be well pleased with. When someone persecutes you, are you well pleased with that? Does it seem good to have necessities? Those infirmities mean weaknesses, diseases, sicknesses. Native weakness and frailty, feebleness of health or sickness of the soul, want of strength, capacity requisite to understanding a thing. That is our inheritance. That is what we get as Christians, as the bride. We come to that point where we, when we are weak, he is strong. We embrace that. We embrace the vulnerability. We're not afraid of it. We're not protecting ourselves. We are so trusting God because he's brought us this far. He promised to bring us the rest of the way. He gave us all this word. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. I will take care of you. I will take care of you. And then when things come up and we see, you know, we can say, I believe that. That's right. I'm going to do that. But when things come up, what do? We go right back to the same little wormhole that we came out of. Why? It just needs more maturity, friends. That's all it is. It just takes more maturity. And like I said, we're old. We should be mature, and you are. I'm not saying not mature. But it just shows that this world is so against you. Everything in this world is all about fear. Everything that people do in there is about fear. They do their truth. They're proven they're not afraid. And they get to the point they're not afraid because they don't care anymore. I'm getting way off my subject here. It's a whole nother thought. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's go home. Embrace the vulnerability instead of fight against it, instead of pushing against it. Hold it tight to you. Paul said, I take pleasure in my vulnerabilities. I take pleasure in these things. Why? Because I know that in my own self, I can't do anything about it. And so I let God have his way. And Christ through me is strong. And we all want to see that. That's all we want to see. That's all we want to see. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come and just bring an anointing tonight for everyone to hear the word, to understand it, and to be able to walk in it, to believe. I pray that you would just let it be a revelation in each one of our hearts, Lord, that we walk from here stronger than we are now, Father. It's just the work of the Holy Spirit in us. As we take the word and let it live through us, then we see Christ in us with the hope of glory. That's the greatest thing we can ask for, Lord Jesus. Protect us, Lord. Watch over us. Some of us will be traveling a little bit this weekend. Bring us back Sunday morning, Lord, ready to hear more from you, Lord Jesus. And just watch over us, Lord. Just prove to us how much you love us. We ask this in your name.